The kids are heading back to the classroom, but this is anything but a normal back-to-school year. With talk of vaccine mandates and questionable curriculum, we'll talk about your rights as a parent and what your options are. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepard. This is First Liberty Live. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for sharing our episodes here, First Liberty Live, with your friends and family. Thank you for showing your friends and family how to download the app and how to find our website. That's how we grow the audience for this program. You are an important part of this, and we appreciate you for doing that. Our guest today is Keisha Russell. She's an attorney with us here at First Liberty Institute. She's the one who keeps an eye on school issues of all kinds, and you may have seen her on Fox News along the way defending the rights of students. Students and parents. Hi, Keisha.
Hi.
This is a hot topic.
Yes.
So before we get started, there are a few things we have to clear out. First of all, we know that there are lots of different opinions on these on the topic, particularly of vaccines. Some people, absolutely, they should be mandatory for everybody. Other people say, you know, I really don't think, you know, I think it's a freedom issue. We get that. But we're not going to tell you whether to get the vaccine or not. That's not our role. It's not our place. We think you're a smart person and you can decide that. But we are going to share general information about what your rights are under the law to help you understand that. But it's also important to point out we're not giving out legal opinions or medical opinions. We're just giving information.
That's right.
And if you want to pursue something where you are, you want to seek your own legal advice or medical advice because every school district, every state law is different. Mm-hmm. So we're going to give general information that may be helpful. Did I cover it all okay?
Yep.
All right. Let's get to it then.
Yeah.
The first question, let's talk about vaccines. Mm-hmm. They're in the headlines. We're hearing here at First Liberty from a lot of parents who want to know more about what their freedoms are, what their rights are. What are options for families if a school is demanding that their students be vaccinated to attend class?
So the first thing to remember is that vaccine requirements to go to school are generally legal. So that's why you have requirements like measles, mumps, rubella, et cetera, to go to school. Now, the COVID-19 vaccine, because it's still under emergency use authorization, we have not seen that to be mandated as broadly, right? Particularly for children under 12, because it hasn't been approved for children of that age yet.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any middle school students or high school students, haven't seen those requirements just yet. So where we're primarily seeing most of the requirements for students is, are in colleges and universities. So hundreds of colleges and universities across the country have mandated the COVID-19 vaccine. So the question is, can they do that? Generally speaking, yes, they can do it. But most of the time, states will allow you to get a religious or medical exemption from getting a vaccine, any vaccine, including the COVID-19 vaccine.
I was talking to a college student at an event just a few weeks ago in the Northeast. I won't identify what school or anything, but he did just that. He filed a religious exemption, turned it in. They rejected it. He filed another one, turned it in, they rejected it again. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that?
So when that kind of thing happens, number one, you want them to put their rejection in writing, why they're rejecting it. You can contact us online about it and we can maybe advise you further. It's a little hard to give advice about that kind of stuff without actually knowing all the details and all the facts.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, most states allow you to get religious exemptions from vaccines. And so you wanna submit that request for your student, your child in writing, and ask for the response back in writing, and then you know move on from there.
We've also been hearing from school employees, whether teachers or staff members or maybe someone that works in the kitchen. That's different than being a student because it's an employee-employer relationship. What are the options there?
Right. So the law kind of considers this the same. So requiring a vaccine for education or employment is considered a condition of education or employment, not necessarily a mandate. Why? Because you don't have to go to school there and you don't have to work there. So the government looks at it as just any condition. And so just like with a student, you know, going to school, employees can also request what's called a religious accommodation from their employer. So what you would do is in writing, you detail, you know, why you feel like you can't meet this requirement. For example, getting the COVID-19 vaccine, what your religious beliefs are, why they preclude you from getting that vaccine, and then get that, you know, that response back from your employer in writing. You know, if they grant it, great. If not, you can go higher to the EEOC.
Yeah.
They have plenty of information on their website about requesting religious accommodations. Go and check out that website, and they'll tell you what to do next. Again, you can also contact First Liberty if it's a religious, you know, accommodation you're asking for, and we can maybe advise you on that.
I think it's important for people to also, if you enter into this arena, to at least, as you deal with the people that you're dealing with, understand that the people higher up are trying to do the right thing. You should at least go into it assuming that that's their motivation. Some of them may not be. I mean, we'll allow for that as well. But they're attempting to do the right thing in a difficult situation, just as the individual who's asking for an exemption or accommodation.
Yeah, they are. And so you want to be reasonable. You want to try to look for and accept alternatives. For example, if you don't want to get the vaccine and they ask you to get tested regularly, you know, a reasonable amount of time, then, you know, you want to try and accept, you know, some sort of alternative if that's what they're proposing in lieu of you getting the vaccine. So just try and work with them as much as you can.
And there are cases that bear that out where if an employer offers an accommodation to an employee, they may also ask for something.
Yes,
and
that's
right. There have been cases in the past where, for example, this wasn't a vaccine-related one, but an employee asked for a religious accommodation. They said, okay, but you'll have to take a different position or, you know, do something. And that's part of what accommodation means, is you have to be willing to give and take, negotiate.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, you definitely want to just be open to the alternatives is all it is.
In that particular case, he said no, and they fired him, and the court upheld it. So, you know, it's important to understand that as far as the law goes. Do you have specific examples of cases that we've dealt with here at First Liberty that would be a good way to unpack this?
Yeah, so we represented a student in Alabama who was required to get, you know, vaccines. And she, this particular student, she had never been vaccinated in her whole life. So she was in her early 20s and never had any vaccine, and had very strong religious objections to vaccines, particularly because of and some vaccines have the aborted fetal cells in them or are derived from those cells. And so she had a pretty strong objection. And so we helped her, you know, craft that response and to negotiate with her university, a public university, to get that that religious accommodation. We've received requests from a lot of employees across the country that don't want to get the COVID-19 vaccine, for example. And so we just, you know, help them craft a sample, you know, accommodation to send to the employer to ask for an accommodation. And then a lot of times the employers, I have to say, are most part are willing to help and to accommodate, provided that employee is willing to, you know, do some alternative things instead. So for the most part, we've helped a lot of people, but, you know, we can't help everyone. And so that's why we want to do something like this, so people can, you know, try and resolve these situations themselves.
One aspect of this, which is worth unpacking a bit, First Liberty Institute, of course, is a nonprofit law firm that exclusively does religious freedom cases.
Right.
In this particular circumstance, the law, the courts, define religion beyond what we would normally think in our own heads to also include ethical or more strong ethical or strong moral objections.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes philosophical objections can be included, but not always. So, for example, you've got states that will give you a religious exemption, but they won't give you a philosophical objection. So you'll have to look at each state law, you know, that they're all different. And we have an insider article coming out tomorrow where I'm going to write about all those things, where you can find that information. I'll have links in the insider article that'll help you figure out what your state requires. So be looking for that tomorrow morning.
And the insider, of course, is our email that we send out every Friday here at First Liberty. You can subscribe to that on our website, firstliberty.org. We're also hearing about parents who are concerned about what's being taught in the classrooms, whether it's sex ed curriculum, gender identity is now being taught in classes, critical race theory. What advice do you have for parents as far as their right to opt out of classes that they don't want their children involved in?
So we actually get a lot of calls about these kinds of things at First Liberty, and people want us to sue about curriculum. And, you know, the most helpful thing to remember is that it's best when the local government controls curriculum. You don't want a federal judge deciding what your curriculum is going to be in school. So the best thing to do as a parent is to really just be involved at the state and local level. Go to those school board meetings, look online and find out what's being proposed in education and the curriculum, and try and get in on these issues prior to the curriculum being passed in school, so that you can make your voice be heard. And because it's local, your voice can be a lot louder at that level than it might be at the federal level. And so that's our, you know, our biggest advice is just to get involved as soon as possible on this stuff so that you and a number of other parents can opine on it, whether you do or don't want certain curriculum taught.
Might even consider running for office yourself, getting on the school
board.
Yeah,
definitely. Why not?
So it happens that the local school board and the state legislature, those are the two bodies to look for. It's not a national thing because education is one of the last remaining institutions that truly is a local affair.
Yeah, one of the few. And so, yeah, you want that education to be local. And so you have a lot of autonomy as a parent. You have a lot of power over what happens. And so you just got to use that authority. Stay involved in what's going on. Now, you might not always be able to catch the curricula before it's passed. And so a lot of times you'll find out that something is being taught when your child comes home and starts telling you about it, right?
Surprise.
So then what do you do when that happens? Well, if it's something that's being taught that's a, you know, violation of your religious beliefs, for example, a sexual education curriculum that you feel like is in violation with your religious, sincerely held religious beliefs, you can request an accommodation for that too, an exemption for your child to be exempt from that kind of curriculum. And a lot of states will have laws that are specific to sexual education that you can exempt your students from, your child from something like that. Now, the other thing is oftentimes you're not going to be able to catch it before your child is exposed to it.
Yeah.
And I always tell parents, don't panic about this kinds of stuff. Not only that, some curriculum you cannot attach to your religious beliefs. You can't say, well, I don't want to exempt them just because I have a religious belief. I have another type of objection. I don't agree with it. Whatever. But you can't always catch it. And so the best advice I can give you is to just open dialogue with your child and to fill in those blanks for them when they learn these things. Provide full context for them and give them the information that you think that they might be missing so that they can draw a well-informed conclusion and they're able to critically think about these issues on their own, because you cannot prevent them from seeing all this stuff. You know, they're going to see it even whether it's in school or somewhere else. And so if you want them to have the ability to think about this on their own, teach it to them yourself. And don't be afraid of them being exposed to that information, because in a lot of ways, you're not going to be able to prevent it.
Yeah. About a decade ago, I was at a gathering of activists on the other side of these issues in Chicago. And one of the things I heard them talking about was working their activism into classes outside of, say, a sex ed class, but into a math class or into a reading book, and pushing that down into the lowest grades possible. So the name of the class doesn't always tell you where you need to watch out.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's why I say you just got to stay involved. Pay attention to what, you know, your school is teaching your child, whether they go to public or private school. Like, stay really involved in that. And that is the best way to control and really direct the upbringing of your child, which the law says you have every right to do.
Very good. Anything else before I let you go?
Well, I just want to encourage everyone just to be bold about your faith, be confident about it. Don't let anyone intimidate you in standing firm in your beliefs, and just, you know, live in that freedom that if something happens, you've got First Liberty here to help you.
Yeah, and don't be surprised if somebody disagrees with you. It's going to happen.
Which will happen. Yeah, yeah. We've got to learn to live in a society where people disagree with us. It's going to happen. So
now,
it's fine.
There are a few things we want to share with you and put into your hands if you'd like them. First, if you think your rights are being violated, if your religious freedom rights are violated, please contact us here at First Liberty Institute. You can go to our website and contact us there. We're also going to provide a link in the text that goes along with this video where you can click and fill out a web form. And
yeah, the
get
website
in touch
is
with
better,
us.
Don't call.
We've been getting so many calls,
call,
it's been
yeah.
hard to keep up lately.
Yeah, so it's better if you put it in the website. Yeah.
So that's why we know a lot of people are concerned about this right now. Yeah. We also have a free resource for students and teachers that explains in more detail what we've been discussing. We want you to have that as well. It's a free download on our website. We're going to put the link for that in the text that goes along this with this as well. We've got a new version that'll be coming out very shortly.
Yeah.
But again, that's a free resource. We want you to have it, and that will put something in your hands that you can refer to and read for more detail. And as Keisha mentioned earlier, tomorrow on the First Liberty Insider, the FLI Insider as we call it, our weekly email, she's got an article that's going to unpack this in more detail. You want to give us a sneak peek of what's in there?
Yeah, so I'm unpacking the vaccine issue in more detail. I'm going to tell you what states have religious exemptions, which ones don't, how to really handle it, if whether you are a student in a school or your employee. So there's a lot of really great information in there. So just go online, sign up for our newsletter, and then you'll get that in your email tomorrow morning when it comes out.
Very good. And again, you can go to firstliberty.org and look for the subscribe link on there to get our email.
Yeah.
And it'll be on the website, too, once that's published. That's all I got. Keisha, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with
My
us.
Pleasure.
Very helpful. I know a lot of people are talking about this right now. We will see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.